In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Morning, everyone. Good to see you all today. Well, last week was something, wasn't it? What a special weekend at St. Peter's. And in the week afterward, kind of reveling in the excitement of that, one of the things I keep hearing over from over from folks is, boy, I feel really sorry for whoever has to preach the Sunday after Bishop Curry. And they keep asking, who has to do that? Well, but I can tell you that what I lack in energy or eloquence, I'm going to make up for with brevity. So that at least that'll be the case today. I'm going to give this a shot. But it was a special weekend. I also heard from many of you that it seemed like something changed in our parish last weekend. Maybe it was just a sacramental recognizing of something that's been there for a long time, but this sense of the joy that was just palpable among our community, and maybe it was with all the people who had kind of come in from the community that were gathered here with us, but there was, I think, a good holy sense of pride in our congregation and in joyfulness and wonder, and I certainly felt it, and I hope you did, because it was a powerful thing. Now we just have to figure out where to go from here. What do we do with all that energy and all of that excitement that we felt last week? What are our next, or at least, what's our portion of the next 150 years going to look like? But in some ways, today is just as exciting of a Sunday as last Sunday. We don't have the presiding bishop with us. A number of you have asked me, when's he coming back? And I hate to break it to you, but that's a once, you get one chance. But today is the day that we are finally back in our new Undercroft. That's beautiful. Go check it out downstairs after the service. We're going to have a great coffee hour. I announced on Wednesday that we've hired a new associate rector, Joseph Wallace Williams. Kelly and I are very excited about Joseph. He arrives not a day too soon on All Saints Sunday, so I look forward to everybody here getting to know him. Joseph's going to be in charge of youth ministry and young adult ministry, ministry to newcomers. And there are a lot of newcomers right now, something else to celebrate. And just to keep things fun, in addition to that, and trying to build on a good thing, today is the first day of our annual giving campaign. Because why not? As you leave today, you'll see people with lighted buttons that say, ask me about pledging. So if you see somebody's lapel glowing or blinking as you walk by, just go talk to them. The faster it blinks, it means the more potential there is for you to give money. That's not really true. But this week, maybe you noticed in the news that the Powerball lottery ticket, it has broken a record. It is $1.2 billion this week. If you haven't bought your lottery ticket yet, go do it, and then give 10% when you win back to St. Peter's. But imagine winning that kind of windfall, $1 billion. Just imagine winning that all of a sudden in a flash. Imagine what would change in your life with that kind of thing. The New York Times had an article this week addressed to the winner of the lottery. And it said, be prepared, your ninth cousin once removed by marriage, they're all going to start calling you. And they're going to swear that they're just asking to see how you're doing. They were just thinking about you randomly. But what they're getting at is that something that would be so exciting that would bring you kind of financial freedom and possibility and all that, there's another side to it. But there's something to us that's so exciting about getting all of that for nothing, just suddenly winning a lotto ticket and suddenly, boom, having that kind of resource and clout. Because there's a sense of power and authority that would come with that too, isn't there? With that kind of fortune. Thinking about that will get you into the mindset James and John that we hear about in the gospel lesson this morning. James and John are the two disciples, except for Peter, that we hear about the most in the Gospel of Mark. They're right there from the beginning. They are the third and fourth disciples that Jesus calls. The first two are Peter and his brother Andrew. Right after Jesus finds them, he finds James and John, invites them on. James and John, they see Jesus' first miracles. They are with him when he raises Jairus' daughter from the dead. They see him raise somebody who's died from the dead. They see him when he is transfigured on the mountaintop alongside Moses and Elijah. And they hear the voice of God naming Jesus, "You are my son." They witness all of these things about Jesus. And in the eighth chapter of Mark, we hear Jesus finally acknowledge that he is who they believe he is. He finally says, "I'm the Son of God, and here is what that means. I'm on my way to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be arrested and handed over to the authorities, and they're going to kill me. But 3 days later, I'm going to rise again." James and John are witnesses to all of that. And what do they do with their new knowledge? They pull Jesus aside from the other 10 disciples, and they say, "Hey, Jesus, when you come in your glory, we want to sit on your right and left hand. When you come in your glory, we want to make sure that we get all that glory with you. We want to be at the front of the line, right there with you." And Jesus looks at them and he says, "Do you really think you're willing to drink the cup that I'm going to drink?" And they say, "Well, of course we are. Sure." He says, "Okay, you will." But then the disciples, the other 10, they catch on to what James and his brother John are trying to do here. And they get really angry with James and John. And then James and John start fighting with the others, and they're all fighting over, wait a minute, if two of us get to sit at Jesus' right and left hand, well, it shouldn't be James and John. It ought to be, I don't know, Bartholomew and Timaeus or a few of those others. They start jockeying with each other for power, and Jesus stops them. And Jesus says, "Look, beyond the walls where we are, everybody else in the world, that's the way that life works. We all fight with each other over a limited amount of resources. But Jesus says, don't ever let that be the case among you. He says, if any of you want to be the greatest in my kingdom, you've got to be the last. If any of you want to sit at the front of the line, on my right and my left hand, then you've got to go all the way to the back." It's a hard thing for James and John to hear. And then notice, when Jesus says that to them, if you want to be the greatest of all, you have to be a servant of all. There are two words in Greek that can be used for servanthood. There's one from the same word for deacon, but it's a willing servant, somebody who willingly gives themselves to serving others. And there's the other that meant a slave, somebody who is put into servitude beyond their control. But with each one, notice what Jesus says at the very end of the lesson today. He says, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." That word ransom, we understand that as being, you know, something you pay to a kidnapper, you know, for somebody to go free. But in Jesus' world, that was a word that was used for somebody who is enslaved, and that the ransom would be the payment to free them. So what is he trying to tell us? What was he trying to say to James and John? If you were here last week on Sunday, or if you were at our dinner on Saturday night, you heard me talking about how St. Peter's is a joyful church. You've probably heard me say that a lot. That's the one thing I've tried to really drill down on in my 5 or so years here. We are a joyful church. This is a place where we come in and we feel the joy of God. We feel the power and the wonder and the peacefulness of that. But what Jesus is reminding us is that joy is not just something that's free. It's not something that we just walk into the doors to sense and to experience and then to go back out to do whatever we were going to do anyway. Jesus says to James and John, you can experience resurrection, but don't forget that you have to go to the cross to get there. See, James and John had kind of looked at Jesus as their lottery ticket. They were going to get that resurrection. They were going to get that joy for nothing. And Jesus says, no, no, no. It's in the servanthood. It is in the giving of yourself and of who you are. That's where resurrection comes from. That's where joy comes from. It's not a passive receiving. It's an active giving. And it's in that sense of serving others. It's in that sense of reaching out to others. It's in that sense of giving of your whole self that you receive the joy of God. I think the powerful thing that's happening in our community is that people are starting to realize that sense of joy in giving. The sense of joy you feel when your life matters to another person. The sense of joy you feel when your life matters to a whole community of people. When it matters that you show up and you sit in a pew. When it matters how you give and how you serve others. When it matters how you think about the unique gifts that God has given each and every one of you as an individual human being. The gifts that you have that nobody else has. And to show you how to celebrate those gifts and then to share them. To share them with your community, with your loved ones, with the world. And that is where that sense of joy and blessing comes from. So on this day that we begin our annual giving campaign, you can think about how that kind of giving is going to be a blessing and is going to change you. But to think about what are those gifts that you have. If you were in the rector's forum this morning, we asked, what are the spiritual gifts that you have that those around you need? How are you going to give them? How are you going to share them? Jesus is the one who tells us that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Because it's in that giving that we find eternal life. It's in the giving of ourselves that we find the joy of God. Amen.